ladies and gentlemen. My name is Wasim Fortein, and I am your guest host for today on the Jesus Revealed podcast. With me, I have our actual host, Minister Z. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Pastor Wass, and a big hello to everyone that's listening to us.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah.
So, Minister Z, as I said, we're on day 29.
Yeah.
And over the past 2 days, our speakers have been chatting around Jesus, who's God's chosen servant.
Yeah.
And they've just shared so beautifully with us on what that meant for Jesus and setting the example on servanthood. And yesterday, our guest spoke around the parables of the kingdom of God and shared very beautifully with us. Today, we're going to be discussing the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Yep.
Can you chat to us about that?
Yeah, so we're taking this passage from actually two places. And thanks again, Pastor Wass, for that outlay. And I absolutely agree with all the previous episodes. And I think it's a great time leading up to where we are now. So we're looking at Matthew chapter 16 from verse 5 to 12 and Luke chapter 12 from verse 1 to 3. But I think it's very important maybe just to use Pastor Adrian's words to take a step back.
Yes.
And when we take a step back, we see in Matthew 16 where, I guess in typical fashion that we have seen previously, where the Pharisees are surrounding Jesus and they're discussing, or they're actually asking him, show us a sign that you truly are the Messiah, or you are who you say you are.
Yes.
And I think Jesus then pushes back and says, listen, all this time you have seen, and it used the analogy of the sun rises, or something as obvious as those things, that when there is elements changing in the environment, you know that this is the type of season that we're in, and that's how you pick up. And he brings that to light, or brings that to the fore, because what he wants to show them and even bring to us is that all this time, he has been performing signs and wonders. He has been teaching with authority. He has been doing all these sorts of things. He has had a whole baptism where the Father confirmed him as a son, and yet still they demand a sign.
They're still
questioning him. And Jesus is almost asking, what more do you need? Because it then means, I think if you have failed to pick up all these testimonies, because I'd like to believe that, fine, if they weren't in the vicinity of seeing some of the things that Jesus did, definitely people were going to tell them and testify that, hey, man, this person did that. Because in some of the miracles that he had done, he actually instructs the people to say, go to the leaders so that they can verify that indeed you have been healed. Like the man with the leper and things like that. But they fail to acknowledge it. So in a sense, their hearts have hardened. And I think that the common theme that I keep on seeing, and I think we've said in previous episodes and the episodes before, is that even if Jesus had to show them the signs that they were demanding, I think they would still be in unbelief.
Sure.
And then Jesus then says, the only sign from here on that you will only see is that sign of Jonah, which points then to his death and resurrection on the third day. And that is the only thing he gives them. And then in light of that context, Jesus then says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. So that's where then we come from, leading up to this warning then that Jesus gives them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, especially within context. And I think just hearing that, it's also very encouraging, because oftentimes, you know, going from day to day, we find that we have to defend our faith quite a bit sometimes. You know, it might not always happen. And when you're in those moments, it can sometimes get a bit either discouraging or frustrating. And when we see how Jesus models this, you know, and how he shows us how we ought to do it, it's very encouraging. So thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah.
And then, very interesting now, because we see a lot of encounters that Jesus has with the Pharisees. But in this specific encounter that he has with them, he uses the word leaven when he describes them as well as the influence that they have.
Yeah.
Can you speak a little bit to that for us?
Yeah, look, so my wife has a long history of baking. She's pretty good. Okay. So I think in another life I'll try to convince her to sell some of her bakes. So don't ask me about baking. Actually, there was a time where I did bake chocolate chip cookies. They were great. But in baking, especially when it comes to bread, things like pastry and bread, they always use yeast. And I think Jesus then uses that leaven as an example of the Pharisees. And when you look at leaven, or when you look at yeast in having that leaven effect, with leaven, it's like a small portion in baking. You just add a bit of it. And what it actually does, to those that know what the actual process of fermentation is, that it helps the baked goods rise.
Sure.
So when you've got bread, it gives it that rise, yes. But also at the same time, it gives it the flavor of the bread.
That's interesting.
So in light of that, when Jesus then warns them, and I think in Luke 12, it really states it explicitly and says, when he's talking about leaven, he's talking about their hypocrisy.
Wow.
But I think I just want to stay in the analogy of the leaven just to understand just the influence that they actually have. In that, the Pharisees, and I think they, with Pastor Gops in the previous episodes before, he talks about them having a good understanding of the law, but abusing it as a way to lord over the people that are listening or their followers.
Sure.
It's almost as a way to keep them bound and following them and keep on condemning them, because if you keep on condemning them, they'll always come to you, dependent on you and things like that. So they use it in a very, very, very abusive and hypocritical manner, because they aren't themselves upholding the law. So they're using the law not just in its holiness, because the law is holy. And I think Paul says that in the book of Romans. But the law is almost a mirror and a standard of how one should live. So without Christ, obviously, we cannot uphold the law.
Sure.
However, what the Pharisees do is that they use the law purely as a mirror and don't necessarily help or teach them to live a life of righteousness. So they keep them in bondage in a way then that they can be subjects to the Pharisees. Now, they do not uphold the law in a sense that they are being hypocritical. So in that, they teach the law outwardly, but they aren't necessarily upholding it themselves. They're not taking it in. They love the knowledge of it as a tool for them to gain influence and power, but they have, in a sense, no relation to the person that gave them the law, and that is God. Now, when it talks then about the leaven, and because leaven, I think, when you use it in this context, it speaks a lot to influence. So because of, if you look at then, if I can use the same analogy within baking, the ingredients and the material and the dough can be seen as the law in a sense, and the law of God. And the yeast is the Pharisee.
Sure.
So there's nothing necessarily wrong with the dough per se, but if you add the yeast, tiny as it is, almost influences the dough in terms of flavor and in terms of how it rises.
Wow.
So to stick with the flavor then, the Pharisees, in how they teach and apply the law with their hypocrisy, they then are the ones that will influence how people receive the law. So they will receive the law as this burden, as this barrier that keeps people subject to them.
Sure.
And that's why Christ calls them out in terms of their hypocrisy. And he calls them out in previous chapters as well. So when he talks about when they walk around in the marketplaces and exert their authority as well. That is them being leaven, because they are now telling people that if you want to have the influence and the social status that I have, be a man of the law. But sure. I'm going to put a barrier to you so that you don't become a teacher of the law, so that I can maintain my status as a teacher of the law. And that is the main thing that they were opposing Jesus by, because Jesus was almost a threat to their authority, their social status, and the authority that they carry.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense. And I think we also see why they frustrated Jesus the way that they did.
Yeah.
Because he could see their hearts and he understood why they were doing what they were doing.
Indeed.
But thank you so much for sharing that. Interesting fact, I did not know that yeast actually gives flavor to the bread as well.
Neither did I.
That's very interesting.
Thank goodness for research.
So thank you for sharing that. Our final question, and I think just to sum up what we've so beautifully discussed, is what would you want us to learn from this teaching?
Yeah, I think there are various facets that I'd like us to walk away with. And I think maybe first and foremost, looking at the context of this passage. And I think we've said this before a couple of times, in that Jesus did not come to abolish the law.
Sure.
Jesus came to fulfill the law and uphold it. And he, with his fulfillment, he becomes the door in which we not only live in compliance with the law, but live above the law. So we live in a state where we are not subjects to it, and the law is used as a mirror, in a sense, to say that, okay, we need to do A, X, Y, Z in order to be like this. But through Christ, we live a life then of righteousness through the belief in him and his finished works of complying with the law, because it's very important for us to look at Christ, because Christ not only upheld the law and understood the law, but Christ understood the heart of what the law was intended to do.
Makes so much
sense. And unlike the Pharisees, who I guess they can quote the law top to bottom, which is why then they can abuse the law as well. But Jesus uses the law and fulfills the law so that through our belief in him, we can be in right standing with God. So no longer then are we living in a time of the law or the previous covenant, where we get right standing or righteousness with God, or our approval from God by complying with the law. Yeah. But we are now getting approval from God. We are getting our righteousness from God by believing in Jesus. And when we talk about believing in Jesus, we talk about his person and his nature. Firstly, in him being God.
Sure.
And him being God in the flesh. So in a sense, when we look at him as the law, when we look at the law, he is the word of God. So the entire, I'm going to quote Paul here in calling it the whole counsel of the word of God, which is both the old and the new. Christ is not just the word in the New Testament, but Christ is the entirety of the word of God. So we're looking at him as that. We look at him as the perfect sacrifice for the atonement of our sins. So no more do we need to do acts of sacrifice. No more do we need to comply with the law as a way to be right with God. No more do we have to make offerings that can make us in right standing, because there's already a lamb that has gone before us, who is the total sacrifice. So now we have received that compliance. And not only has he gone before us as a sacrifice, but he is also a priest now that keeps making petitions and prayers for us. So, and I think then it's a great thing for us in that we mustn't look at legalism or the compliance of the law as a way for us to be in right standing with God. You will never be in right standing with God by just complying with the law. Compliance with the law comes through Jesus Christ. Being in right standing with God comes through Jesus Christ. And I just want to frame it there. And the second part of it is learning about hypocrisy. And it's very important. And I think in how Jesus taught about sin, and I'll use the example of covetousness. And in that, he's not saying that if you lust or you get into adultery, then you're in sin. He's talking about if you're even thinking about doing it, you have already gone into it.
Sure.
So the things that Jesus is correcting are things of the heart. And when you look at Dr. Jeremiah, when you look at everyone that has spoken around this, what Dr. Jeremiah was talking about was that the thing about circumcision and the circumcision of the heart is almost that whole process of being set apart and renewing your heart through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God and through the revelation of Christ. Cool. And by doing that, it's not only in your acts and behaviors in public, but also your inner thoughts and your inner actions when no one is watching. So that then prevents us from being leaven or being hypocrites.
Sure.
In that, let us not come to a body of believers being this wonderful person, and then when you go out into the world, into the marketplace, you're just a deplorable person.
Sure.
The person that you are in Christ should be total and comprehensive, whether people are seeing you and whether people are not seeing you.
Sure.
So, and that's why even when it comes to, even in our prayer life, prayer life is not reflected when we get here on Sundays, just before the service starts and the intercessors are praying. Your prayer life starts in your secret place.
Sure,
what we 100%. See here is just an outpouring of what's happening inside. So what's happening inside is 90%, and what's happening outside is 10%.
Sure.
So it's very important that as believers, we are watchful of and be mindful, because these are then the traps that the enemy will use to ensnare us in living a life of hypocrisy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Minister Z, that was so powerful. As you were sharing now, just around the law and how, you know, all of this is fulfilled within Jesus.
Yeah.
I couldn't help but think of the scripture where he says, our righteousness is like dirty rags in front of him.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Very powerful stuff. Yeah. Thank you so much
Amen.
For sharing.
Thanks.
And I think in closing, thank you for being here. Thank you for allowing me to host you today.
Thank you.
Ladies
thank
and gentlemen,
you.
We hope that you enjoyed this. Join us tomorrow as our theme will be, take up your cross and follow Jesus.